It was Solomon, the wisest of all biblical figures, who said that while so much of eternity and our future lives are unknown and unknowable, there are seasons for everything. Maybe that's the best way to look at 2022.
COVID isn't gone, but even with cases climbing in this country, COVID deaths are down nearly 90%.
It was a time when the pandemic started to release us from its grip, but it was also a time when war returned to Europe and phrases like mass graves and war crimes were reinitiated so painfully into our lexicon.
Grim discoveries in liberated towns, mass burial sites, hundreds of graves.
Unnecessary suffering on the civilian population is a war crime.
It was a time to grieve and to embrace the bereaved as America continued to struggle through an era of mass shootings, this year in places like Buffalo, Uvalde, Highland Park, Colorado Springs.
It was a time of tribulation. Inflation beset the global economy.
Despite some promising developments, we have a long way to go.
Twitter, known as the world's public square, went private. The U.S. Supreme Court changed everything about abortion rights.
Yet in 2022, the world came together to mark the passing of Queen Elizabeth.
And she is mourned most deeply in her passing.
And in the United States, a rebuke from American voters, weary of anger and spectacle, they all but directed their nation's leaders to find a way to work together despite political differences.
I wish it was more based on what they stand for instead of dividing everybody the way they do.
If nothing else, perhaps 2022 may be remembered as a year of transition, globally and locally, while some familiar struggles remained entrenched.
This is Playback 2022 from ABC News. I'm Aaron Katursky.
And I'm Sherry Preston. Since President Vladimir Putin ordered Russian tanks across the Ukrainian frontier in February, little went as he might have expected.
200,000 Russian soldiers surged into Ukraine, intent on sweeping into Kyiv in a matter of days to depose the government.
There were leaders of some of the communities north of Kyiv that were, it looks like, executed.
Russia's initial bombardment failed. While its forces quickly captured swaths of territory, they failed to encircle Kyiv, and Ukraine refused to capitulate. Ukrainian President Zelensky stood firm.
The war of Russia is not only the war against Ukraine. Its meaning is much wider. Russia started the war against freedom as it is.
The Russians were forced into humiliating retreats. The war became a grinding stalemate. Russia drew international condemnation.
We cannot allow for this. We will never surrender to those brutal, barbaric regime.
Refugees streamed into Poland and resettled throughout Europe.
This is not something that Poland or Romania or Germany should carry on their own. This is an international responsibility.
Ukrainian men were conscripted into the fight. Train stations flooded with women, children, and the elderly.
The UN estimating more than 20% of the country's population have now either been displaced from their homes or have left the country altogether.
The United States and its NATO allies accused Russia of war crimes and issued sanctions.
Any further Russian aggression would have severe consequences and carry a heavy price.
The allies rushed military aid to Ukraine, enabling unexpected advances by its armed forces.
Ukrainians have been and remain on the counteroffensive, literally pushing Russian troops closer to the border.
Still, the allies remained together, and Russia's failures extended beyond the battlefield.
That explosion caused a significant fire, which as of this morning was still raging aboard the ship.
Ukraine sank Russia's flagship Black Sea battlecruiser, the Moskva. Russian forces fled the tiny Snake Island outpost in the Black Sea.
It's a coup for the Ukrainians that they've effectively driven the Russians off that island.
If Putin aimed to push back NATO from its borders, that appeared to fail when Sweden and Finland applied to join the alliance, alarmed by the military threat from Moscow.
I strongly welcome that. It's an historic decision. It will strengthen them. It will strengthen us.
As the calendar flips into the new year, the outcome of the war remains uncertain.
Parts of the United States became killing fields. The country continued to suffer from its unique problem of disaffected young men taking up assault-style rifles and committing mass shootings.
When I started hearing it, da-da-da-da-da, and it got closer and closer, then I knew someone was in the store.
I heard all the gunshots. I heard all the bodies fall. And then I just thought, if she's gone, I gotta get out of here.
In May, an 18-year-old shot and killed 10 black people at a top supermarket in Buffalo.
This is the worst nightmare that any community can face. And we are hurting and we are seething right now as a community.
The shooter, who pleaded guilty in November, traveled from his home in another part of New York after researching where he could find predominantly black neighborhoods and publishing online a 180-page screed filled with racist conspiracy theories.
He became somehow obsessed with white supremacy, and he became obsessed with anti-Semitism, and obsessed with this notion that white people are somehow being replaced by immigrants and others.
He obviously needed to be guided toward treatment, and it doesn't appear that he received it.
The attack was live-streamed on Twitch, and social media companies came under scrutiny for their role in spreading hate.
In 2022, that's how radicalization is occurring, through the social media echo chamber.
Peyton Gendron still faces federal charges. The Justice Department will decide in the new year whether to seek the death penalty.
To say the least, Uvalde has been shaken to its core.
10 days after Buffalo, a different 18-year-old with an assault-style rifle took aim at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas.
19 students, fourth graders, and two teachers were killed.
I can confirm right now that we have several injuries, adults and students, and we do have some deaths.
And there was cops driving, so many cops, like, speeding towards the school.
Nearly 400 law enforcement officers descended on the school. None stopped the killing.
Let us do this, man! Let us do this, man! Come on! Let us do this!
It's already been about an hour, and they still can't get the kids all out.
Does it look like a war zone out there? I'm not gonna lie. It did. I've never seen that in my life here in Uvalde, especially at the school.
The failure of police to quickly subdue the shooter at Robb Elementary School, Salvador Ramos, drew widespread public condemnation and criticism.
Police have been trained to immediately enter a school and try to subdue a shooter, not set up a perimeter.
You'd think that they'd go in. Listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist that kids are in their classroom. And if you tell me that this guy was barricaded, you bust that barricade.
We have a situation where the director is confirming that children who were killed, that teachers who were killed, might have actually been able to survive if the proper protocols, as subscribed to by this police department, as trained locally, if they had been followed, because they were not followed.
The Uvalde School Board fired Pete Arredondo, the district police chief who became the face of miscommunication and inaction.
The termination was long coming. I think it should have been done immediately.
Just leave. There's no way that he will ever work here, that he could ever live here. He needs to leave.
A blistering report stating a command post was never set up, leading to a breakdown in communication between officers on every level.
Some parents of students killed have turned their grief into activism. Others still struggle to cope with their loss.
Seven families of shooting victims in Highland Park, Illinois, were left to grieve after a gunman opened fire on a July 4th parade.
Bam, 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 bam. And it seemed, for the first few, bunch of them, seemed like it was fireworks, which kind of made a little bit of sense. You'd probably get in trouble if you did it, but we heard them. And everybody was just kind of like frozen. And then all of a sudden, people started getting up and screaming, and then it accelerated.
You heard people screaming, saying, "Baddies down, baddies down." Everybody obviously ran for wherever they didn't know where the shots were coming from.
Robert Cremo fired on spectators and participants from his rooftop position. In addition to the seven killed, dozens were wounded, ranging in age from 8 to 80.
I saw his suspect vehicle, which I saw on Twitter, which is the Honda Fit. And right away, I saw six cop cars pull up behind him with a SWAT team and state troopers.
We all look forward to bringing this individual to justice.
The shooter evaded police capture for hours by blending in with the fleeing crowd to get away from the scene. He borrowed his mother's car and considered a second attack in Madison, Wisconsin, before he returned to Illinois, where he was arrested.
These were not the only mass shootings in the United States in 2022. The Gun Violence Archive tracked more than 600 of them before the end of the year.
Coming up, the year abortion rights were taken away, when this ABC News special, Playback 2022, continues.
From ABC News, this is Playback 2022, our look at the year's top stories. I'm Sherry Preston.
And I'm Aaron Katursky. Of all the opinions issued in 2022 by the United States Supreme Court, none pierced more than Dobbs.
In a sweeping ruling that overturned a half century of precedents, six justices ended the right of American women to choose abortion under the U.S. Constitution.
Radical Republicans are charging ahead with their crusade to criminalize health freedom.
The court affirmed today that every life is worth living.
A draft of the ruling had leaked, so it wasn't a total surprise, but the consequences were immediate and deeply felt.
I'm shocked that 50 years of precedent has been overturned by this court.
It's a victory for millions of people who have been part of this pro-life movement for decades.
The 6-3 decision by the court's conservative majority and authored by Justice Alito upheld Mississippi's ban on abortions after 15 weeks, and five of those justices went farther, voting to overturn Roe v. Wade itself.
We can only talk about what Roe v. Wade protected, past tense. This is a health care crisis.
Now, in America, the right to equal protection of the laws is being extended to that innocent unborn baby.
And from the liberal wing, a scathing, agonized dissent. Justice Stephen Breyer argued the majority opinion was based on nothing more than three new justices appointed by Donald Trump casting decisive votes to overturn Roe. And in the dissent's last line, Breyer struck a somber note, writing, "With sorrow for this court, but more for the many millions of American women who have today lost a fundamental constitutional protection, we dissent."
This might empower people more to come out and vote. So while it is a disaster, it might be the kick in the butt that people need to really get out there.
Breyer retired from the bench.
Members of this chamber say thank you to Justice Breyer for his lifetime of public service.
One does not have to agree with the substance of Justice Breyer's legal philosophy or the conclusions he has reached in many cases to appreciate the service he has rendered.
President Biden nominated Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will administer justice.
Jackson was confirmed and took her place as the first black woman on the high court bench.
I have a seat at the table now.
Meanwhile, the Supreme Court's abortion decision touched off a political fight to enshrine abortion rights into law.
If we take back the House and the Senate, I can assure you we'll have a vote on our bill. If the Democrats are in charge, I don't know if we'll ever have a vote on our bill.
The issue propelled Democrats into the midterm elections.
This is a clear referendum in this election on a woman's right to choose.
The Republicans are very much ideologically driven.
Inflation, President Biden's plummeting approval, and perceptions of surging crime in parts of the nation gave Republicans confidence. But a so-called red wave never materialized.
And all those polls, God love them. You know, historic losses were on the way, a giant red wave. Folks, that didn't happen.
I never predicted a red wave. We never saw that in any of our polling.
Republicans did win a slim majority in the House, but Democrats kept control of the Senate.
They knew how important it was to protect our democracy.
It's a great night for Democrats. It's a great night for our candidates who won, and it's a great night for America.
One factor that may have swayed voters was lurking in the background of the midterms, former President Trump.
You really have to get out, you have to get out, you have to vote, or we're going to have a problem.
Trump backed candidates who backed his lie that the 2020 presidential election had been stolen.
There is no room for debate. Those who invaded our Capitol and battled law enforcement for hours were motivated by what President Trump had told them.
The lie was central to nine public hearings by the January 6th committee.
It's important that the American people hear that information immediately.
The committee put former President Trump at the center of a conspiracy to steal the 2020 election and foment a violent riot at the U.S. Capitol.
Something to the effect of, take the effing mags away, they're not here to hurt me,
let them in, let my people in.
Memorable details came from Cassidy Hutchinson, an aide to Trump's chief of staff, and from Stephen Ayers, who was part of the mob and said he was duped by Trump's rhetoric.
I was hanging on every word he was saying. Everything he was putting out, I was following it.
Trump was saying he won when former aide Alyssa Farah said he knew he lost.
And he was looking at the TV and he said, "Can you believe I lost to this effing guy?"
In its final hearing, the committee voted to subpoena Trump.
Mr. Chairman, on this vote, there are 9 ayes and 0 noes.
The resolution is agreed to.
Liz Cheney, the committee's vice chair, lost her seat over her role as one of the committee's two Republicans.
My colleagues and I on the Select Committee joke with each other and say that we look forward to the days when we can get back to disagreeing.
The Justice Department's investigation into Donald Trump's role in the January 6th attack will spill into the new year under the direction of a special counsel.
He was the head of the public integrity section at DOJ, and that's the section that prosecutes and investigates public corruption cases.
Attorney General Merrick Garland named Jack Smith, a career prosecutor, as special counsel to oversee both the investigation into January 6th and the one into classified documents found at Trump's home in Florida.
15 boxes of White House documents former President Trump improperly brought with him to Florida contained classified documents.
Garland ordered the FBI to search Mar-a-Lago after the National Archives tried unsuccessfully to recover presidential records after Trump left office.
The attorney general in Trump's former home state of New York sued him and his children for $250 million.
Claiming you have money that you do not have does not amount to the art of the deal. It's the art of the steal.
New York Attorney General Letitia James said that Trump inflated his net worth and duped banks into giving him better terms than he deserved.
Trump was allowed back on Twitter in 2022 after Elon Musk bought the social media platform for $44 billion.
He said it was foolish to the extreme when Twitter banned former President Trump after the January 6th insurrection.
As Twitter's new boss, Musk showed up at its headquarters carrying a bathroom sink and made immediate changes, pushing out more than half the employees and loosening rules around permissible speech.
This is frankly an attack on the First Amendment.
What Alex Jones said about the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre came back to haunt him in 2022.
It's incredible. They won't let me take it back. They just want to keep me in the position of being the Sandy Hook man.
A stunning verdict in a lawsuit by still grieving families ordered Jones and his company to pay almost $1 billion for insisting the mass shooting that killed 20 first graders and 6 adults was a hoax.
I was under a lot of pressure, and I truly, when I said those statements, when I say something, I mean it.
The families testified about torment and threats of violence and death. Jones did not apologize.
This is a witch hunt. This is a show trial. This will go down in history as one of the greatest show trials ever to happen, not just here, but even in places like Nazi Germany.
The verdict in Connecticut followed a $50 million verdict in Texas, and there's a third case pending. Jones filed for personal bankruptcy in December. Coming up, to the moon and musical chairs in Britain when this ABC News special, Playback 2022, continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
We're looking back at the year's top stories. This is Playback 2022 from ABC News. I'm Aaron Katursky.
And I'm Sherry Preston. 2022 was the year the COVID-19 pandemic seemed to loosen its grip on the country.
Our existing vaccines continue to provide robust protection
against serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, who guided the nation from the first encounter with the virus, announced he would retire.
What I would like people to remember about what I've done is that every day for all of those years, I've given it everything that I have, and I've never left anything on the field.
Not that the pandemic is over. A new variant, Omicron, became dominant.
Since the surge of the Omicron variant, children 0 to 4 years of age have been hospitalized at a rate approximately 5 times higher than the previous peak experienced during Delta.
An extra booster shot became available.
These shots contain both the original vaccine and a vaccine that's been adapted for these latest Omicron variants.
As the country returned to offices and in-person everything, the pandemic revealed a new economic problem, pent-up demand. Americans wanted to spend money and spend it fast.
Americans are still spending a growing number of cases. It's money that they don't have. Credit card debt is increasing up 15% year over year.
Inflation reached levels not seen in 40 years and confounded efforts by the Federal Reserve to control it.
We will stay the course until the job is done.
Interest rates went up. Everything became more expensive, especially gasoline.
And it just feels like you're just caught under a wave that's bigger than you have any control over.
Gas prices subsided toward the end of the year.
Right now, I'm only putting like 20 in there, but normally I put like 60.
NASA returned to moon exploration.
And liftoff of Artemis 1. We rise together, back to the moon and beyond.
Artemis 1 blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center in the first of a series of increasingly complex missions that will enable human exploration to the moon and Mars.
It's a really great day for us here. I'm really proud of the team.
The Earth, meanwhile, sustained a blow from Hurricane Ian.
Rooftops floating down the street, vehicles just going into the ocean.
The large and destructive Category 4 hurricane was the deadliest to strike Florida in almost 90 years.
This is a scary situation, and we completely understand that.
We'll ask you to stay where you are until we can understand the extent of the damage and the conditions that everyone's going to have to deal with.
At least 144 people were killed in the storm.
Somehow, nobody was killed when a gunman opened fire on a New York City subway car during the morning commute.
I saw a lot of people coming out of a train station. One of them was injured. I believe it was a lady getting shot right in her leg.
10 people were wounded. The gunman, Frank James, briefly evaded capture by escaping in the confusion and hopping on an oncoming train.
We are endeavoring to locate him to determine his connection to the subway shooting, if any.
Heads up, New Yorkers spotted him charging his phone and alerted police.
New Yorkers are known for doing that. New Yorkers are resilient.
WNBA and Olympic basketball star Brittany Griner spent most of 2022 in Russian captivity, sentenced to 9 years in a prison camp before her release in December.
She's safe. She's on a plane. She's on her way home. After months of being unjustly detained in Russia,
Griner, who was found with two vape pens that contained hashish oil, was swapped for international arms dealer Victor Boot after months of negotiations.
Brittany will soon be back in the arms of her loved ones, and she should have been there all along.
In 2022, Boris Johnson resigned as prime minister.
The torch will finally be passed to a new conservative leader. The baton will be handed over in what has unexpectedly turned out to be a relay race.
Johnson led the UK out of the European Union. He saw through the coronavirus pandemic, and he had taken a world-leading role in the Ukrainian war. But his administration had collapsed after a series of scandals.
I'm honored to take on this responsibility at a vital time for our country.
Liz Truss succeeded Johnson, but lasted just a few weeks.
It has been a huge honor to be prime minister of this great country.
Rishi Sunak became the first British Prime Minister of Indian descent.
I am humbled and honoured to have the support of my parliamentary colleagues and to be elected as leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party.
Coming up, saying goodbye to Queen Elizabeth and bidding farewell to others we lost this year when this ABC News special Playback 2022 continues. Looking back on the year's top stories, this is Playback 2022 from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston.
And I'm Aaron Katursky. She was not born ever thinking she would be crowned queen, much less become the longest reigning queen in modern British history.
I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service.
But from her coronation in June of 1953 until the day she died at her beloved Balmoral Castle in Scotland on September 8th, Queen Elizabeth II was the only person people thought of whenever anyone said the Queen.
Monarch, wife, mother, grandmother, those are hard to juggle normally. Put a crown on it, even harder.
She set an incredible example to me, to others, to follow. Her leadership, her duty, her sacrifice.
Queen Elizabeth's ascension, like that of her father George VI, was not supposed to happen. But when her uncle abdicated and her father became king, she became next in line.
I here present unto you Queen Elizabeth, your undoubted queen.
In February of 1952, the job became hers for life.
She was a young woman in a man's world, carving her own way through life.
And what a life it was. In her 7 decades on the throne, Queen Elizabeth ruled alongside 14 British prime ministers, from Winston Churchill and Margaret Thatcher to Boris Johnson and Liz Truss. She met with 13 of 14 U.S. presidents. The only one she somehow missed? Lyndon Johnson.
You helped our nation celebrate its bicentennial in 1976. She gave me a look that only a mother could give a child.
The Queen visited 117 different countries. In all, she traveled more than 1 million miles throughout her reign.
The Queen's 4 children and their children had their share of drama over the years, but her life was steady and consistent. Prince Philip, her husband of 73 years, by her side.
His sense of service, intellectual curiosity, and capacity to squeeze fun out of any situation were all irrepressible.
Planning for Queen Elizabeth's funeral had been in the works for decades, but when the phrase for its implementation, "London Bridge is down," was actually uttered, it was still a shock felt worldwide.
My mother gave an example of lifelong love and of selfless service.
The lyrics to "God Save the Queen" were changed on the day of her death to reflect the next reign, that of Charles III.
I too now solemnly pledge myself, throughout the remaining time God grants me, to uphold the constitutional principles at the heart of our nation.
Britain's long farewell to Elizabeth II was just as you would imagine, full of tributes and memorials and parades and pageantry and people, millions of them.
It's just such a shame that, you know, she couldn't see the love in the country for her now.
The line to file past her coffin in Westminster Hall stretched an astonishing 10 miles long at one point. 250,000 people passed through to pay respects.
More than 4 billion people, it's estimated, watched on television or streamed the funeral itself.
They've paid their respects and in sympathy to the family, which they know well.
I'm so glad I came.
Coming this spring, the world will stop again to watch the coronation of King Charles.
Although maybe not as monumental as the Queen, there were plenty of other memorable people we lost in 2022.
The music world said goodbye to Jerry Lee Lewis and Loretta Lynn.
Well, I was born to call miner's daughter.
Fleetwood Mac's Christine McVie.
For you, the sun will be shining.
Irene Cara, rappers Coolio and Takeoff, Meatloaf, and Olivia Newton-John.
You better shape up, 'cause I need a man.
When it comes to the movies and TV, we lost longtime directors Jean-Luc Godard and Peter Bogdanovich.
And Anarene, Texas, like other small towns, is approaching the end of an era.
Actors James Caan.
No more. Not this time, Consigliere.
Angela Lansbury.
If those shots were fired as recently as that, I mean, wouldn't you have noticed a slight smell of gunpowder?
And Sasheen Littlefeather, whose refusal of an Oscar on the part of Marlon Brando on behalf of the mistreatment of Native Americans cost her career.
And I'm president of the National Native American Affirmative Image Committee.
Some deaths came as a sad surprise. Bob Saget.
I wish someone would share their pancake with me.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Her sharp yellow teeth can take a man's arm off in one bite.
And Haish, Ray Liotta.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Others were notable when we were reminded of what they had done both on screen and off. Racial barriers broken by big stars like Sidney Poitier.
I accept this award in memory of all the African-American actors and actresses who went before me in the difficult years.
And not-so-big stars like Nichelle Nichols.
Hailing frequencies are open.
Who was encouraged by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to keep playing Lieutenant Uhura on Star Trek.
He said, for the first time on television, we will be seen as we should be seen.
The fashion world got a little smaller this year with the passing of flamboyant Vogue creative director and editor-at-large Andre Leon Talley.
Do you think things are getting better behind the scenes with diversity in fashion?
It's a slow burn. It's like cooking chitlins.
The political world also shrunk just a little in 2022 with the deaths of former Russian President Mikhail Gorbachev and former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright.
I loved what I did. I didn't exercise enough. Being Secretary of State was a very fattening job because I was eating for my country.
Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was assassinated in July.
11-time NBA champ and Boston Celtics legend Bill Russell passed away this year.
We almost developed what we call the Celtic way. The attitude was, be kind to your teammates.
And so did the legendary Vin Scully, who called games for the Dodgers, first in Brooklyn, then in Los Angeles, for 67 seasons. He passed away at age 94.
All of the ballplayers in the major leagues are wearing the American flag. Out of patriotism, yes. Out of love of country, yes. But more so out of duty and of courage, and to pronounce a national firmness of will. God bless us in our efforts. God bless America.
Welcome back to Playback 2022. I'm Aaron Katursky.
And I'm Sherry Preston. What year would be complete, honestly, without a little of the stuff that made us go, what?
That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay.
And there was plenty of that to go around in 2022.
Yeah, there was the night at the Academy Awards when Will Smith walked up on stage and slapped Chris Rock across the face for a joke about Jada Pinkett's hair.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? Uh-oh, Richard! Oh, wow!
Love will make you do crazy things.
There was that defamation trial that spawned a million memes out of actress Johnny Depp and his former wife, Amber Heard.
When I was around Johnny, I felt like the most beautiful person in the whole world.
I was sort of not allowed to be right.
There was the Kimye divorce, which had been messy.
He should have a wife that supports his every move and travels with him and does everything, and I can't. Yeah, I feel like a f***ing loser.
Just not as messy as whatever it is Kanye West had been doing since.
I see good things about Hitler also.
There was another round of accusations of men behaving badly. Kevin Spacey, Danny Masterson, Harvey Weinstein again.
If Harvey Weinstein got released from jail today, he can go to the Academy Awards as someone's plus one, but Will Smith can't.
And former CBS boss Les Moonves again.
CBS Television Network and its former president Les Moonves will now pay more than $30 million for allegedly covering up sexual assault allegations.
There was J-Lo and Ben, who got back together.
I'm sorry, I gotta ask, do we know each other?
Not yet.
But there was also Tom and Giselle. They broke up.
Brady posting to social media, quote, "We arrived at this decision amicably." Bunchen writing, "The decision to end the marriage is never easy, but we have grown apart."
There was the continued feud of the royals.
It's really hard to look back on it now and go, what on earth happened?
It seemed like Harry and Meghan were ready to move on and make up with Will and Kate, but with Harry's book and new Netflix documentary out, 2023 would be even more contentious for the Windsors than 2022 was.
No one knows the full truth. We know the full truth.
Finally, there were the things we celebrated.
Billboard says Bad Bunny was the artist of the year.
You know it's not the same as it was.
Spotify said As It Was by Harry Styles was the most streamed song of the year.
Netflix says Wednesday beat out Stranger Things 4 as the most streamed TV show of the year.
Wednesday is certainly a unique name. I'm guessing it was the day of the week you were born.
I was born on Friday the 13th.
FIFA said the World Cup was the most popular sporting event of the year.
That's a big game, man.
And Apple says the app of the year was Be Real. You're supposed to stop everything you're doing right now, take a picture of yourself, and then upload it to show you're living in the moment.
Click. You know who would have liked that app? Wise old Solomon, who we told you at the beginning of this program that there are reasons and seasons for everything, including Johnny and Amber.
This has been Playback 2022. We hope you've enjoyed listening this year. Wishing you all the best in 2023. I'm Sherry Preston.
And I'm Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
A
ABC News, honored for the second year in a row with 5 Murrow Awards for excellence in audio, including breaking news coverage. ABC News, America's number one choice. Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.